Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is from our gospel lesson from John chapter 20, where Thomas says, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my fingers into the mark of the nails and place my hands into his side, I will never believe." This is our text. Christ is risen. You know, our Easter celebration and what that very first Easter was like probably couldn't be more farther apart. When we join together for our Easter services, it's all about the joy and the wonder of the good news of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the special music, the beautifully decorated church, our Easter breakfast, family celebrations. It's the whole experience all wrapped up into one great big bundle. But there was none of that for the disciples on that first Easter morning. Think about it. None of those great Easter hymns were written yet. There were no churches to decorate. They were way too frightened to make an Easter breakfast. There was just a whole lot of confusion and chaos mixed in with a little bit of joy as the good news of Jesus' resurrection slowly filtered in. Unfortunately, we have seen it way too many times recently. A terrible disaster happens. And we get the first reports of that disaster within a matter of a couple of minutes. And then we sit by our televisions and our radios and we listen, trying to make sense as more and more details come to light. And that's really the way it was that first Good Friday and into Easter Sunday. Good Friday was a terrible disaster. God himself was crucified and put to death. He was laid in a tomb. Everyone in town was wondering what happened, and they were in shock. They couldn't make sense of what was happening so quickly. And then came Sunday morning. The women were the first ones to hear that news. They were the ones that went out to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body. And they weren't expecting anything else but that, but to prepare his body for burial. They had all the spices that they could carry. They couldn't sleep anyway, so they got up early in the morning and they went out to do what needed to be done. And as they walked out to the tomb, they came to the realization that we're not going to be able to get inside the tomb. There is this matter of this great, big, huge stone that's rolled in front of it. I mean, even if all of those women worked together, there's no way that they would be able to move that stone. But as they got closer and closer to the gravesite, they realized the stone was already rolled away. And those soldiers that were supposed to be there were nowhere to be found. And as a matter of fact, Jesus' body wasn't there either. Now, these women didn't have the Bible to tell them what had happened. There was no way for them to just figure everything out. They had to figure it out all to themselves. And most of the women, they left that empty tomb with only Mary Magdalene staying behind. Well, the Bible tells us she stuck around and she saw Jesus, but she really still didn't understand. And so the women ran back and told the disciples, "We have seen the Lord," but still the details are sketchy. They really didn't understand what was going on. Peter and John, they run out to the empty tomb to investigate, and we're told that John sees the empty tomb and he believes immediately. The Bible tells us somewhere that the Lord appeared to Peter sometime that first day, but we don't have the details about that, about when and where and all that happened. Until finally, it's Sunday night, the disciples are all gathered together. They've all shared their stories about what has happened to them that day, and finally, Jesus appears to them all. Can you imagine being in that upper room that night? Can you imagine being part of all the confusion and excitement and trying to figure it all out? Then to have Jesus suddenly appear and to be able to see him with your own two eyes, to be able to reach out and touch him and feel him and know for certain that he is alive. That would have been utterly amazing. But if you were like me, it'd be just your dumb luck that something came up, that you had something else to do. And while everyone else was in that room when Jesus came and appeared, you were missing. I would be that person. That's just the way my luck runs. And yes, Thomas was that person too. You know, the name Thomas is of Greek origin. Thomas means twin. The Bible tells us that he was also called Didymus. That's Aramaic. And Didymus also means twin. And so for his whole life, this disciple of Jesus was known as the twin. Until that night, when he missed this one event. And suddenly his name changes forever because of one thing that he says. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and thrust my fingers into the mark of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will never believe. Those are some pretty strong words for a pretty remarkable event. I mean, even the rest of the disciples who were there, they really didn't know all that it meant. There was still a lot of confusion. If they knew what it was all about, they wouldn't have been huddled together there in that upper room. They would have been out proclaiming the message that Jesus was alive. But because Jesus had come, he bid them peace. He breathed on them and gave them a job of forgiveness to do, and then he left. But they still didn't know what to do. They still didn't know what it all meant. They all knew what had happened, and they told Thomas, formerly called the twin, but forever to be known as the doubter, they told him what had happened. But so no, that very first Easter was nothing like our Easter. There's no doubt in our Easter. Our Easter is filled with joy and communion and special music and fellowship and food. But their Easter was one of confusion and fear, ups and downs, highs and lows. Really, when you think about it, their Easter resembles real life. You know, it's happened to me too many times to be an accident. I got my day all planned out, and then something happens and that plan gets sidetracked. It might be a phone call, it might be an unexpected task, it might be even something at home. But in the end, I end up at the right place at the right time, and God shows me why he delayed me for just a little bit, so that I could help someone out who needed some help. And you know what? I bet that's what happened with Thomas as well. God delayed Thomas. God kept Thomas away. God wanted that faith that was inside of Thomas to brew and fester for a week so that when he did see Jesus, that faith would be solid and secure. Not to mention that there's a little bit of doubt in all of us. I mean, none of us have a strong, vibrant faith 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's always those little times when we doubt. We all have times when we need to thrust our fingers in our hand in Jesus' hands and in his sides. We need the strength that the real contact with the real living Son of God would bring. And I would bet that that's why God delayed Thomas, so that we, when we doubt, would have somebody that we can relate to. And I would bet that God delayed Thomas so that we would know that, you know what, it's okay if we doubt now and then. I would bet that God delayed Thomas to show us that doubting is part of the Christian life. But notice, Thomas' doubt comes to an end as soon as he lays his eyes on Jesus. There was no need to thrust his hand into his fingers. There was no need to actually thrust his hand into Jesus' side. Thomas just sees Jesus and he believes. And that's kind of the way it happens with us in our lives as well. Our doubt ends when we bow on our knees in prayer. And our doubt ends when we gather together as God's people for worship. Our doubt ends when we spend time in God's Word, studying His Word. And our doubt ends when we come face to face with the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. So yeah, there are times when God may act in our lives to create just a little bit of doubt. But God also gives us a way to get rid of that doubt. Spending time in worship, spending time in prayer, spending time in God's Word, and receiving the Lord's Supper are all ways that God comes into our lives to erase our doubt. It may not happen overnight. It may not even happen in 8 days like it did with Thomas. It may not even happen in 8 years. But God continually works in our lives through His Holy Spirit to erase our doubt and to strengthen our faith so that we are ready to go home to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.